Picture a crowded New Year's Eve dance floor. Bodies swaying, music pounding, champagne flowing. You're lost in the moment, arms flailing with abandon, until your elbow connects hard with someone's face. Blood, a broken nose. Your profuse apologies meet only a cold, vacant stare. Your remorse changes nothing. The damage is done. This isn't a cautionary tale about dancing. It's about power. When you occupy space in the world, especially when you hold any form of influence, you can't simply opt out of responsibility because you were just having fun or didn't mean it. Leadership isn't a costume you wear to important meetings and remove when it's inconvenient. You're always a giant to someone, whether you acknowledge it or not. Your casual glance can make or ruin someone's day. Your throwaway comment can echo in someone's mind for years. There are no breaks from this reality, no magic potion that shrinks you back to normal size when you'd rather blend in. The question isn't whether you have power, it's what you'll do with it. Who are you when nobody's watching? We navigate life with an inner narrator, providing constant commentary, but rarely question whether that voice tells the truth. Many capable people feel like frauds, waiting for exposure, a distortion that clouds judgment and paralyzes action. Think of distinguishing weather from climate. One failure doesn't invalidate your competence. When your inner critic screams inadequacy, apply a simple filter. What's the intent of this thought? Is it contextual or catastrophizing? Self-analysis isn't narcissistic navel-gazing. Each time you examine your patterns, what triggers your moods, how you impact others, you gain clarity. Consider how automatically we answer fine when asked. That reflexive response shuts down genuine reflection. Pause instead. Are you actually fine? Everyone harbors bias. Research reveals a telling pattern. People consistently attribute positive associations to marginalized groups when speaking for themselves, but rattle off negative stereotypes when describing what others think. If everyone claims positive associations while believing others hold negative views, who are these mysterious others? What matters isn't the existence of bias, but what we do with it. Approach each person with benign ignorance and enthusiastic inquisitiveness. After interactions with people different from yourself, replay them honestly. What filters influenced your behavior? This pragmatic self-assessment is how change actually happens, not through corporate training modules, but through genuine reflection and adjusted behavior. Success doesn't require cruelty. The myth that ruthlessness equals results is nonsense. Nice people without plans, skills, or direction finish last. But so do unpleasant people lacking those same qualities. Being difficult doesn't enhance performance, it just makes you difficult. Define success on your own terms. We all start with vastly different levels of privilege and limitation. Comparing your journey to others is useless. Create a vivid vision so compelling it pulls you forward when discipline falters. Science fiction authors craft convincing future histories that feel inevitable. That's the clarity you need. Accept that success requires compromise, but not the kind that destroys your integrity. When you build something perfect that nobody wants, you've failed despite noble intentions. Sometimes introducing an imperfect but sound intervention achieves more than waiting for ideal conditions that never arrive. Success isn't zero sum. You've been conditioned to see it that way by those who benefit from aspirants fighting over scraps. In reality, elevating others often elevates you. Enduring success hinges on minutiae, not pivotal moments. There is no single defining moment, only the accumulation of how you handle everything, especially the mundane. Remember hesitating at the top of a playground slide, wasting recess on what-ifs, only to find the ride exhilarating once you let go? We often squander energy on hesitation before challenges that could bring joy. Boldness and vulnerability seem opposing, yet together they're transformative. Boldness without vulnerability is reckless, chasing fanciful goals without grounding. Vulnerability without boldness is meek, limiting ambition to what feels safe. Combined, they enable audacious dreams with pragmatic planning. Consider a British teenager writing in his 1988 yearbook that he'd play in the NBA and win a championship. Someone who'd barely seen playing time, from a country where basketball barely registered. Publishing that bold ambition created necessary vulnerability and impetus. Sharing goals publicly connects you with allies who help when resolve falters. But boldness alone is fantasy. That NBA dream required concrete steps. Getting drafted meant attending a Division I school, which required an unearned scholarship. So came 3,000 handwritten letters to American coaches. Three responses arrived, one polite rejection, one xenophobic dismissal, and one coach who became a lifelong ally. Each time that teenager declined socializing to hit the gym, explaining it was for his NBA dream, he pledged allegiance to his cause. Many laughed, but he found supportive friends who challenged him to deliver. Being bold and vulnerable can be simple. This is what I plan to do. I may not know exactly how yet, but it's important, so I'll do whatever it takes. We live in the cult of busy, where worth is tied to appearing overwhelmed. I'm super busy signals importance. Imagine the strange looks if you admitted having a balanced workload. This norm is killing us. Good leadership isn't about more time, but time better spent. Success requires enduring mundanity, the planning, practice, and repetition that makes performance look effortless. Consider a 1970s palliative care doctor making house visits. In grief-heavy homes where families waited with trembling hands and rattling teacups, she'd enter with unwavering confidence, make eye contact, listen to fears, then calmly assure them, "You can do this." She'd assign specific tasks for the coming week. Almost immediately, hands would steady and families would repeat her instructions, newly empowered despite unchanged circumstances. In today's technology-dominated world, undivided attention is increasingly valuable. Your attention is a weapon. Its absence wounds others. Brief moments of genuine focus can be transformative, precisely because you are powerful. Even your casual glance impacts others, especially in leadership positions. The "it's only little old me" excuse doesn't justify checking your phone during conversations or skimming emails during meetings. A boy's self-assurance, built on his mother's adoring gaze, shattered at age 11 when secondary school reflected something entirely different. He encountered three reactions: abject terror from others, mockery behind his back, and people speaking to him slowly as if intellectually stunted. When a rugby coach dismissed him with, "If he's not going to play rugby, what use is he?" he began doubting his mother's perception. After reading The Hunchback of Notre Dame, he asked her if he was a monster, recognizing parallels with Quasimodo's treatment. He adopted by walking tall, looking above crowds, and pixelating people below his sightline, avoiding connection to protect himself from degradation. Charles Cooley's looking glass self-concept suggests our identity forms partly through how we imagine others see us. You can either distort people's self-perception, like a funhouse mirror, or accurately reflect their capabilities. Famous studies demonstrated this power when teachers were told certain randomly selected students were intellectual bloomers. 8 months later, these students showed greater improvement, the Pygmalia effect, proving expectations create self-fulfilling prophecies. The key difference was simply the teacher's expectations reflected back to students. You hold this same power in every interaction. Consistency isn't optional. It's the foundation of trust. A mother taught her 13-year-old son this lesson perfectly. After days apart, he stayed up late to hug her when she arrived home. Instead of reciprocating, she checked their chore schedule. "Did you Hoover the landing?" When he admitted he hadn't, she gently stopped his next hug. "Son, if you love me, you'd Hoover the landing." Love isn't just words, it's commitments kept. Years later, struggling at the bottom of the Orlando Magic depth chart, he practiced at a public gym where he met two brothers who should have been in school. Despite focusing on his game, he remembered his mother's expectations and invited them to play. He learned they were essentially alone. As his career improved, he gave them tickets and brought them to his basketball camp. When one broke his ankle, he asked if this NBA player would take care of them. He adopted both boys. What mattered most wasn't his NBA status. It was that he remembered their names on their second meeting. Your shadow falls on people whether you acknowledge it or not. You can make them feel invisible or truly see them and reflect back their potential. As John Stewart said, if you don't stick to your values when they're being tested, they're not values, they're hobbies. Be the person who remembers, who keeps promises, who reflects potential, who creates environments people never want to leave.